that our minds comprehend Christ Jesus as He sees us in Him, and each person walks in the light of divine guidance. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, leadings and perception. Okay, Romans 8:14. So it will do you a lot of good to have the other series, which I just mentioned. Romans 8:14, where we took our text to 15. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And last week we did the pretext examination and saw from verse 2, example, it talks about the law of the Spirit of life in. So there's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then verse 6 says, those that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It says, those that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Always follow the pattern. Then again in verse 9, it says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Again, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If so be that Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you, if any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 says, if Christ be in you, so you can follow the pattern. He's making the same submission. Spirit of life in Christ. Spirit of Christ, then it says Christ in you, and the body is death, is sin, the Spirit is life. So it says the Spirit is life. Then the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Then he says in 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. Notice live, die. That's talking about existence. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So, he now says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, we were able to establish last week that he's referring to the new birth, actually, in verse 14. The word agor means to carry, to bear. So, it's like saying as many as are born, B-O-R-N-E, or carried by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So a vital truth about sonship is the Spirit of God. You cannot be referred to as a son of someone if you don't have his genes. Alright? So the same way you cannot be called the Son of God if you don't have the Spirit of God. That's the discussion in 14. Right? That led to 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, where you have oios is where you have sons. So he now says hoithesia, that is to place our sons. Okay, now this placement is not a position. Verse 15 already tells you this placement is a possession. That is, you have the spirit of adoption, you have the Spirit of God. So verse 16 now says, for the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice the word spirit is not plural, even though he said our spirit. Because if he had used plural, it would be an issue. The Spirit bears with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now go to Proverbs 20 verse 27. There was something the writer of Proverbs did say, that is the nature of the spirit element of man. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, or better still, the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now when you have the word spirit, it talks about the unseen part of man. Because it's the candle of the Lord. Now look at what it says it does. It says searching Now that word searching is an Hebrew word, kephas. Not the one for Peter, but this is C-H-A-P-H-A-S. C-H-A-P-H-A-S. It's used for examining things, which we can readily fall for because of the way it says searching, to examine. And it's also used for to conceive. To conceive. That is where things are conceived. Where things are brought forth. Then, very similar to that is the word to disguise. Right? That is the different use of the word kephas in the Hebrew. We also have to devise. To devise something. That is to create. To devise. And then to hide. So, oftentimes when you have a word like that, that has many meanings, what you do is that you look at the qualifying words. What are the words before it? And what are the words after? The first thing he says is the spirit of man is the candle. So that gives you an idea. If you call something a candle, what does he do? So, but you know, with that, he now says searching the inward parts of his belly. Searching the inward parts of his belly. So we can say, okay, let's use those words. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, conceiving the inward parts of his belly. Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, disguising the inward parts of his belly. Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, hiding the inward parts of his belly. Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, examining the inward part of his belly. Now, if the spirit of man is the unseen part of man, then how would it be also searching? So that's something to think about. So it's, we say it's the candle of the Lord. Now, maybe another thing is, what does the word inward parts, what does it mean? Inward parts. Inward parts of the belly. The word belly here is not stomach. It's another word, and this is where we should think, used for the womb, used for conception. The womb or the conception. So maybe the inward part of the belly, where we have conception, where ideas come from, can refer to the mind. I'm just giving you variety of how to think. Inward part of the mind, thoughts. Then to search will mean to examine. But like I said, what doesn't make it look like it's talking about mere conception of thoughts is the word candle. Candle of the Lord. So, does the Spirit play the function of examining our thoughts? Hiding our thoughts? Or it is the source of the thoughts itself. That's where that leads us to. But let's see where that word examining was used. Oftentimes the book will help you. Proverbs 2. And then verse 4. When thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Find. To find. Then Proverbs 28, verse 12. When righteous men do rejoice, there's great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. So you can see it doesn't help us. One of them says he finds. The other one says that's the same word we have been looking at, Kephas. One of them says he's hiding it. So, the spirit of man, is it the mother of thoughts or the searcher of thoughts? Are we together? So, what can bail us out is the word candle. Obviously, a candle will be lit, lamp, and it is used for guidance. So, obviously, it's talking about to guide, to find, to examine, or to know. So, we can say the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, examining, alright, what is conceived in the inward parts of a man. What is conceived in the inward parts of a man. So that is a little idea of what the spirit of man is. So the spirit of man opens up things about a man. That is, the spirit of a man opens up things about him. That is why when you look at the new covenant is of the spirit. The spirit of a man opens up things about him. For example, if you want to know who a believer is and who a believer is not, is not via what they wear or what they don't wear. It's in the spirit. When the Bible says, what part are darkness with light, or what communion are darkness with light, the darkness and light cannot be Pastor Jakes and Remy, I think, because that would be funny. The darkness and light has to be in the spirit. So, that is again the candle of the Lord that opens us up. So we can see that in the spirit of man, we will see who a man is and what he has. So God knows a man from his spirit. God sees a man, that's a better way, from the man's spirit, or in his spirit. So, look at 1 Corinthians 2. Hallelujah. First Corinthians 2. Verse 9. Pay attention. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So basically, we look at man's modus of communication. He said, eyes have not seen. Now, is he talking about a vision? No. How do people know what God says with their eyes? It's by what is written. So, eyes have not seen, they will refer to it is not written. That's how the eyes see it. Hears, haven't heard it, which is by prophecy. You know, it starts by written because it will take to speak for it to be written. So he now says, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, definitely, the heart and the eyes, ears and the eyes are the gates to the heart. So, the long and short word is that He has not come into the heart of man through what he saw or what he has heard, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. So, if it is not in the, if man has not seen it, and man hasn't heard it, and is not conceived in the man, which is, you find, neither has it been conceived in the heart of a man. That tallies with what we just read now, right? Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the, lamp of the Lord, searching. So, it is not, says the heart of a man. Now, I have already told you this, and listen very well. If you have not listened to this teaching, go and get it. Separating soul from the spirit. Things have been said before that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and lives in the body. And we have done a good explanation on the meaning of soul, the meaning of heart, and all that, and spirit. So, that should not be a confusion at all, what I'm about to say. So, when it says the heart of man, here, obviously without going further, contextually, is referring to the spirit of man. When you hear cardia, cardia is the unseen part, the inward part of a man. So he says it is not in the spirit of man, the things which God has. Now this is a prophecy that was given by Isaiah 64 verse 4. So that statement is not true today. And also, as a present day application we're going to see. So he says, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That is, it is not in man, it is in the Spirit of God. So God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So the first thing He says, and I want you to pay good attention, don't lose this. The first thing He says is, for the Spirit searches all things. Okay? A, the deep things of God. Now, the word searches there is to know all things. The deep things of God. Now, that word know, not what you are taught. It is what you know. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the next explanation now talks about man. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Is that not Proverbs 27? Huh? Okay. So the heart of man is discussing in verse 9 is the spirit of man. Are we together? Are we together? Even so, the things of God knows no man, okay, but the spirit of God. That is bad English. You can simply just say like this, that a man does not know the things of God, but the Spirit of God. Is that clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay. So the next statement will help us. It says, now. So, verse 10 and 11 explains verse 9. Do you understand? Do you understand? Or better still, let me say, verse 11 explains verse 9. This is why he's saying, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Verse 11 explains that. Okay? Verse 10 says, God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So he's saying that Spirit knows the things of God. Alright? So, verse 12. Let me stop here. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is this clear? Okay, now look at verse 12. Let's read verse 12 slowly. Now, we have what? What? Okay, so hold on. So, verse 11 that says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Was he referring to a believer? Because he had told you, I have not seen it, he has not, he doesn't enter the heart of man. So, it differentiates the believer in verse 12. Now we have received what? Not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world. What is it about the spirit of the world? It does not know the things of God. Is that clear? Which is the heart of man. It only knows the things of man. Is that okay? Is that clear? Now look at this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So, if you say the spirit is of God, what do you call it? The spirit of God. That is simple. Is not God the spirit? Okay? Is the spirit of what? That we might what? Know what? Know what? Okay, so what did he tell you in verse 11? Knows the things of God. The spirit, the things of God are known by the Spirit of God. Alright? Are you following this? I want you to look at this without rushing. So if he says to us, we have received, who is the one that knows the things freely given to us of God? Calm down. Let's go over it again. It's very simple. What knows the things of God? Good. Verse 12. What have we received? That we might what? So what do we have? So if you look at the spirit of the man who is born again, is it the spirit of man or the spirit of God? Or the combination? Okay. So the spirit of the believer is called what? What does that spirit, what can he do? It knows the things of God, which are freely given to us. That is simple. Alright. So, we can call the spirit of the man born again what? The spirit of God. Is that clear? The spirit of God simply means the spirit which is of God. Is that okay? So the other spirit we can have is the spirit of man. Alright? Is that clear? Okay. So, now, look at this. Verse 13. We things also we speak. Who are the we? Who are the we? No. The we will now be referring to the person writing, or the apostles, or the ministry gifts. It's not difficult. Just backtrack a little bit. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature. Because when I came to you, I came not in the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So, he's now saying, look, that is why we teach this way. Do you understand? Is that clear? So, he has stopped talking about the new birth now. He's now talking about what I'm doing now. He says, which we teach, the things we speak. What are the things? The things freely given to us of God, alright, which we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Just, that's, you can just backtrack in verse 4 and 5. That is there. Alright? Are we together? Alright? You know, he makes a distinction between the wisdom of this world, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. Alright? He says, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. What does he do? Comparing spiritual things with what? Alright. The user of that statement, which is 4, use the things of the Spirit with the spiritual. The spiritual means of the Spirit, which is a person. So, the man who Paul is talking to is born of the Spirit. That is why he has the Spirit which is of God. Do you understand? And the information he is teaching about are the things freely given to us of God. So when he says comparing spiritual things with spiritual, it means to combine or interpret. That is, whatever he is saying belongs to you. Whatever he is talking about is in our realm. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual. He used that word combining or comparing. You see him apply it in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, two times. Comparing. So, first and foremost, he's saying to us that the spirit of the man born again is called what? And that spirit has what capacity? You don't have two spirits. Is that clear? You don't have two spirits. It's not the Spirit of God in your spirit. That means your spirit remains the same. Do you understand? You are born of the Spirit. So the spirit of the man born again is called the Spirit of God. Not a spirit of God. Do you understand? Right. Done this over and over again. Because he doesn't use a, he uses the. Is that clear? The will simply mean we all have the same. Do you understand? Okay. So we can say it that Proverbs 20:27 is not talking to you. Is that clear? Do you understand? Is it clear? Is it clear? It just describes a spirit or the spirit of man. And that spirit of man, we just heard it now. I hasn't seen it yet. It cannot discern the things of God. So, come back to, look at that word, you know, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. What's the natural man? The spirit of man. Alright? Is that okay? Receives not the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual, there will be he that is born of the Spirit. Everybody that is born of God is spiritual. Where you have a distinction is in the conduct. That is why in chapter 3, Paul says, when I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, figure of speech. I could not as unto spiritual, okay? Even as unto babes, as unto carnal, that is as unto babes in Christ. He said, you are walking as mere men. That's the word. He didn't say you are mere men. He said, you walk as. That is, in their conduct, they are not presenting who they are. So he had to talk to them according to their conduct. That's why he says as unto, which is a figure of speech. And then it describes what he was talking about as their conduct. So everybody that is born again is spiritual in the sense that he is born of the Spirit of God, or he has the Spirit of God, and that Spirit has the capacity of knowing the things of God. Is that okay? Now let's just track back a bit. Now you will see that in chapter 1, it discusses a fact. It says Christ has been made known towards the wisdom of God. And you find people say, well, if it says Christ has been made known made unto us the wisdom of God, which is Sophia, in the Greek. And then James 1:5 says that if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I remember E.W. Kenyon, first of all, put my attention on that, and he said that that James was writing to babes. You know, there's always this idea that James wrote to babes, that James was talking about, was talking to baby Christians, because he says he lacked wisdom. But the funny thing is that Paul's prayers, Ephesians 1, was prayer for wisdom. Okay? So, really, I mean, you just have to say, what wisdom was 1 Corinthians 1:30 referring to? It's not difficult. All you need to do is just track back and discover that I was talking about the wisdom in redemption. The wisdom of Christ's redemptive sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That is the insight. Insight of God. What God sees. That is, man saw something else. Alright, they felt this is foolishness. The Greeks thought this is foolishness. That's what they saw it as. He says the Jews require a sign. For the Jews it was a stumbling block. But unto us, it is the wisdom of God. We're talking about Christ crucified. That's why in 30, are you following this? He says Christ is made unto us. That is, the cross of Christ is made known, is made unto us wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. You understand? Is that clear? So he's not talking about wisdom for living. He's talking about the wisdom in redemption. So James and Paul were not contradicting themselves. Paul, after saying that, for example, he said he had abounded unto us in all wisdom and prudence in Ephesians 1:8. You know, he has said that we are blessed, all spiritual blessings, everything in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, verse 4 says, verse 4 says he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless in love. Verse 5, he has predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he has accepted us in the beloved. Verse 7, he has forgiven us. We have forgiveness of sin according to grace. Then verse 8 says he has abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. But then, having abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, then he now tells you that you should pray that the Father will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is actually wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So you can see that we are talking about two different kinds of wisdom. The first one definitely talks about the wisdom of redemption, of Christ's death and sacrifice for us. The other wisdom is talking about walking knowledge. Hallelujah. You understand? Which is exactly what James was saying you should pray about. James's prayer, James 1:5, is the same as Ephesians 1:17, 18. Just has more detail in Ephesians 1:17 and 18. So it's not a contradiction, Kenyon put it. It's not a contradiction. E.W. Kenyon, one of the most outstanding teachers ever since Paul. But notice that when he got to 1 Corinthians 2, he now says in verse 5, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of him, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak wisdom, okay, among them that are perfect. At that point, he's talking about the wisdom of Christ's death. Then he says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. If the prince of the world had known it, that is, he's talking about the wisdom of the death of Christ. Is that okay? Let me see if that is that clear. Is that okay? So it's not a contradiction at all. So you don't claim you have wisdom when you are actually foolish. When they picked men in Acts 6, men full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, that means they are full of insight in God's word. So we pray and we seek for insight in God's word, insight into who we are in Christ and what we have. Alright? So 1 Corinthians 1:30 refers to the wisdom in redemption, the wisdom of Christ's death, which was hidden before the foundation of the world. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, we have that wisdom. That's why we are born again. Okay. So, that's why it calls it hidden. Now, okay. So, it says, 1 Corinthians 2, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, that word is the word sogkrino. S-U-G-K-R-I-N-O. Of course, krino means what? Judgment, knowledge, discernment, and things like that. So when you say sogkrino, it means to identify. to identify with. Sog. Identify with. To know with. So he's saying that when he is teaching, he is identifying the man who is born of the Spirit in the things of the Spirit. Do you understand? You get it? So that's what compare. It's identifying by knowledge the man who is born of the Spirit in the things of the Spirit. So we are known by the things revealed by the Spirit of God. The things revealed by the Spirit of God are the things that belong to us. Is that okay? Is that okay? Alright. They belong to us. So whatever is spoken in the Spirit, alright, belongs to the man that is born of the Spirit. So the man born of the Spirit no longer receives information. He no longer receives information. He stands in the stead of the revealer of the truth. So he does not receive information. Notice it didn't say the Spirit received information. He says we have received the Spirit that knows. Is that clear? That we might know. So the we might know is not the Spirit now. It refers to our understanding. That we might know, comprehend, appreciate the things freely given to us of God. So the first thing we realize is that the insight is in our spirit. Insight is in our spirit. Our, don't forget the our. Our, why does it say our? Why would Romans 8:16 say the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God? Our will be a joint identification. So, just like he says, the same Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit of God, he now calls it our spirit. That is, what is bears witness, we saw that word last week, somaturio, remember that? Joint witness. So, that already shows you that our spirit is of God. It is of God. See, our spirit is of God. So the our God is inclusive. Our spirit. Just like when we say, you know when you are in a family and you say, that guy is my blood. Or he has my blood. It's not as though you carried, they took your blood, they drained you of yours and put it there. He's saying that it's the same blood. So our spirit means the same. Is that okay? Is that clear?
Right.
So if he says this spirit here in 1 Corinthians 2, just rush to chapter 6, verse 17. It says, he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. Say, I'm one spirit. One spirit. So it's not two spirits. It's one spirit with him. With. So therefore, it's necessary that we know that leading, the leadings of God, none of them comes outside you. Even the period that I know I've explained this, you know, before, and severally so. Even when you had the course to have appearances, how many of you have had visions before? Don't let's fill out your CV. But I've had visions before, even before I knew much about visions, where I was taken up into heaven. You know this kind of thing. God was talking to me about a woman called Cho. You know, and the guy, I thought it was a word person. Just said, he's having a problem. I said, there's this woman called Cho. that she went to heaven and saw Jesus. I'm wondering, why do you have to go all the way? You know, I never, most of them, when they come back, they always say nonsense. Wherever they went. You know, even Paul said he had things that are inalterable. Maybe everybody should be keeping quiet. So he said that, he said, if you don't tithe, you are living in disobedience and you are out of the will of God. I said, and you are still doubting whether she heard of God. I said, if you observe that the spirit of truth used the word tithe only for Easter. That is, it is not a word to reveal all the truth. You know, Jesus says that, I have yet many things to say unto you. You can't bear them. They could bear tithe. Abi, they could bear tithe now. So you cannot bear them now. That will be when the Spirit of Truth comes. He will guide you into all of the truth. So when the Spirit of Truth brought all of the truth there, there was no tithe in there. So there is no truth in tithe. Do you understand? When the Spirit of Truth was going to tell us about giving, say, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the words of truth. How, though he was rich, became poor, that you too, if poor, have become rich. So he says, therefore, God make all grace abound towards you. So you having all sufficiency will abound unto every good work. Those are the truth. That's the truth about giving. Amen. That's a very simple explanation. Hallelujah. Alright. Okay, when you have a vision, do you know that you never left anywhere? Hallelujah. You didn't leave it. You didn't live anywhere. So when Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Now, the thing about that instance, that if Paul was talking about what happened to him in Acts 9, I can tell him that I know you were in your body. But if it was Acts 14 when he was stoned, then I can say he left temporarily and came back. Because you don't have to leave your body to see things in the spirit. Now, are you aware that a man by the name of Stephen, he was still talking when he saw heaven open? Do you understand? So, all the visions are really activities here, within your body. The reason why you have to close your eyes, lose consciousness and all that, is because the body is mortal, that's all. It's a world you have always been in. Hallelujah. One of these days, we'll do a series on visions, and then we'll all see what can happen. Amen. I've done it before anyway, so it's not a big deal. Hallelujah. So look at this. You're not living anywhere. So, don't ever think that if you're going to hear a voice. Not that you have a voice and the voice comes and says, my son, my son. I know, then you like those kind of, my son, my son. Man, why are you forsaking me? When you hear that, you know, and it seems like you heard someone from the outside. No, that's just how it appeared to you. Get it? God and His Word are the same. He lives in you forever. Amen. It won't make any. Now let's assume in this instance that okay, there is a place in the spirit that is called heaven, and you know God is there. You know, just picture it like that. You know. And it won't be any, it's not greater in that place than it is in you. Like, if he's speaking from that place, he uses alto. Where are you? In you, he uses treble. No, it's just the same thing. Do you understand? Nothing has changed. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So you didn't leave your body. You are just right there. All the activities. So, leading does not, I know, well, last week we said that leading is like a radio station and all that. That's You know, it's a weak way of explaining it, but that's the best I can do for now. It's just like, you know, in the Old Testament, they dealt with pictures. Pictures, pictorial explanations, illustrations, and all that, and all that. That's the way things were communicated to the carnal man. Alright? But the Spirit of Truth just spoke words. He doesn't expect you to have pictures. Hallelujah. You know, visions are the lowest level of revelation. It's the lowest. Hearing the voice of God is the lowest. Unbelievers did in the Old Testament. So it's no big deal. What is the issue here? He said they will know me from the least to the greatest. Unbelievers. Is it not true? Abi? You know, we read one last week now, John 12. When they heard, right? They said thunder. Thunder is an angel. So really, it's not. Don't think that you are that guy. He has reached a height. When he hears, like, he hears directly from the throne. Which throne? Go and find something to do. We know. Hallelujah. We know the things of God. Say we know? The things of God. Okay, so that's it. So don't be looking at those things like, my ears directly. No operator is direct. God calls him direct. Then my son. You know, and all that. Did you observe that? Every time anyone is called in the epistles, is their name, not son. Have you observed? Have you observed? Let's leave that. So be careful when you hear my son. Better bear your name. So whatever visions they are, it's still the spirit, not the spirit of man, no. The spirit which is of God. Alright? Okay. It's just the same with an incarnation of Jesus is a man in God, God in man. The same thing that bears in our spirit today. We have a man like God. Amen. That's what we have in Christ. So, that said, so it says we know. So that means the activities of our spirit carry insight. And so that's what we want to examine. I just laid foundation for you. Hallelujah. See, the activities of my spirit carries insight. Do you know that all the questions people wrote, all the questions they asked Paul in the Bible was about doctrine, not about who to marry, where to go, what job to do. You know those things. I just want to ask. I have four offers. Which one should I do? All the four. You have spirit, which is of God. I know the things of God. That's simple. If you say that often, you know it will dawn on you. Hallelujah. If the Holy Spirit take control, so that will take you a long time for that to be controlled. But here I know, you know, it's easier for God to know. Hallelujah. So Paul now writes, look at it now, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning the things of the Spirit, I will not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. Concerning the things of the Spirit which we have received of God, that we know all things which are of God, I would not have you ignorant. Are we right? 1 Corinthians 12:1. So the things of 1 Corinthians 12:1, they are the things of the Spirit which is of God. Right? Right? Okay. So he mentions some, 9, and so we focus on that, them. He begins to talk about them, says they are diversity of gifts, the same Spirit, verse 4. But notice that in verse 3, the first thing he says about the things of the Spirit, he says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Do you know that when we read 1 Corinthians 2, even verse from, the whole of verse, chapter 2, sorry, and then here again, it's obvious that a primary activity of the Spirit is what? Speaking. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of God. So there is a primariness to speaking Which you will see that when Paul was teaching, by the time you found what he was really emphasizing, eventually, he was emphasizing speaking. More than any other thing. So, he mentions tongues from verse 8 to 10, interpretation of tongues. He mentions prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Don't forget, we're talking about leadings and perception. So, when he was through with that, he now went into ministries and operations, which ended in verse 31. He now says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And I've told you the best gifts are the utterance gifts. Right? The word best is greater. Covet earnestly the best gifts, which are the utterance gifts. Now, follow something. Chapter 14, verse 2. Let's read it together. Huh? He that what? He that what? He that what? So if he calls something the gift of the Spirit, or the gift, the same Spirit, the minute it is given, it becomes he that. You understand? You have said, when the Spirit is speaking, he that. So, it's a gift, a charisma. When we have received it, who is doing the speaking? We do. Just like Paul says, which we speak. So, who is doing the speaking? Huh? Who is doing the speaking? Okay, good. Why? Because your Spirit is our Spirit, the Spirit of God. Is that clear? Alright, good. So, he says, verse 2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, the word man, no man understands, albeit in the spirit he what? How many times does he mention speak? Huh? Look at it though. How many times? Three times. Okay. Now, notice, what does he say the man speaks? Now, back up and look at how he used mysteries in that book. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. What does he say? Huh? Verse 6 and 7. What does he say? Albeit, we speak what? So we speak wisdom, Sophia, insight. Okay, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God how? In what? The word is mysterion. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So when he uses wisdom, or mystery there is the mystery of what? Huh? The wisdom of God. Okay? Verse 1, chapter 2. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. That word again is the word mysterion. The mystery of God. Then in chapter 4, verse 1. Again it says, What does he call us? Chapter 4, verse 1? Huh? See words of what? So, you find the word mysteries, which is the wisdom of God. Right? Right? Hidden from the mind of man. Right? Is that consistent? Is that consistent? Different from the wisdom of man. Is that consistent? Okay. So, insight into God's purpose and plan, insight into God's knowledge. So he says wisdom. So 1 Corinthians 14:2. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks what? Now what spirit? Which is our spirit. You know, we can say my spirit. No, it's not difficult. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. If I what? What happened? So, is this spirit my spirit? Our spirit? Okay. Are you there? Clear? Is that clear enough? Okay, so watch this. So, my spirit, there it is, my understanding. So, we'll come to that. So that means when I'm speaking with tongues, what am I speaking? Huh? Undisclosed wisdom. So, in my speaking is what? Is what? Huh? Why is it a mystery? Why? Because no man is a mystery to me. Because I know the things of God. But it's a mystery to the mind of man. Are you there? Are you clear? That was a no man understands. Now watch this. So, are we on the same page? Okay. No, we're going to talk about lizard perception. So, I speak the wisdom of God. Now let's just back up a little bit and look at the word tongues. Tongues definitely is talking about mode of communication. Right? What is the reason for language? Language is to convey thoughts. Right? That means words carry thoughts, ideas, okay, and things. Words carry thoughts and ideas. Language, that's the essence. To communicate thoughts, ideas, things, plans, purposes, motives, etc., etc. Is that clear? Is that okay? Okay. So, that means when I'm speaking with tongues, I'm carrying an information. Right? I'm conveying a thought, an idea, an insight from where? From our spirit. From the spirit. From our spirit. Are you following this? So, that will mean that tongues, if it's a language, which is this, it is a container. Just like when you speak. Let me give you an example. Let me have a Yoruba person. Get up. Let me have an Igbo person. Say Igbo. Igbo is the same. Who can speak Igbo? Or somebody can speak Hausa, come. No, let's just see something. It's not difficult. Now, they will say something to you. Alright? I told you something. Say it in Europe. Say it in Yoruba. Nigeria. I mean, look at what he said. Say it. I don't know what she said. Right? But she said something. Okay? It contains something. Right? But what's the difference? What she said, you know, I know many of you know what, why many of you know what she said was because of what he said. Right? How did you know? Because you understood. But assuming these were the only people that spoke, and you know, just say, Nigeria, Obaje. Do you understand? So your not understanding does not make what they are saying void. Understanding is perception. It does not define what is said. So, They all carried a thought. So let's look at it like this. The minute, if you are Yoruba, the minute he is the one speaking Hausa, it becomes a mystery. It becomes a mystery to you because it is not the way you speak. So language is actually your own way of communicating your thoughts. Thank you. Do you understand? Do you understand? So the mystery of tongues is what? In the human understanding. But you know something? The way she spoke, Rochoma spoke, if he spoke, all the Igbos will do something. If she said, if she gave an instruction, all the Igbos can get up and say, what did she say? And she probably was talking to everybody. But those who understood will walk in it. Are you following what I'm saying? It will apply with the other person. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. So, but you know, either way, she has said something. She has communicated something. An instruction, a thought, an idea. So, when I am speaking, it carries something. It carries an information. That information could be a thought, an idea, an instruction, a fact. So, interpretation of tongues is for the mind. It is for the mind to be able to communicate what the Spirit has said. So, interpretation of tongues is the mind to the mind by the Spirit. The mind to the mind. The mind to the mind. So when I know, I say from my mind to others, that is the meaning of tongues. From the Spirit or by the Spirit. So tongues is a language. What can it contain? Again, if it is Sophia, it will contain information. So when I speak with tongues, it is the same Spirit. So what can the Spirit utter? Paul says, by the same Spirit, the word of knowledge. That word of knowledge, is the Greek word, logos gnosis, which is a thought, a fact of experience. Logos gnosis. Logos of gnosis. A word of knowledge. A fact of an experience. So it's the same Spirit. Okay, it also has a word of wisdom. Insight. Which points forward. Then, the last is discernment of spirits, but that doesn't become relevant immediately. So, if I take advantage of tongues, I can have knowledge and I can have wisdom, like an instruction, what to do. Because the essence of speaking is to communicate information. Do you understand? So let's go back a bit. To communicate information. In Acts 2, I explained a bit of that last week. Look at Acts 2, Acts 9. No, we're going to look at four instances. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, and Acts 19. In Acts 2, when they spoke with tongues on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that what they could say was, some said that these men are drunk. So, well, they are speaking the wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. Anyway, you know, wonderful works of God, which will inspire praise. Oh, you know, that God is merciful, God is compassionate, is all loving. Wonderful works of God. Wonderful works of God. Acts 8, when Philip went to Samaria and then Peter and John came, we don't know the contents. But we just know that Simon the sorcerer said he saw that the Holy Ghost was given. So we don't have much to say about that. Acts 10, verse 45 and 46. They spoke with tongues, and magnified God. They magnified God. In the two instances, or three, the minister, or two instances, then of course, the prior one, Peter was involved. So they spoke the wonderful works of God. But notice in Acts 19, there was more definition. Acts 19:6, when Paul laid his hands on those 12 folks and the Holy Ghost came on them, it says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And that word prophesied carries much more meaning. That is, they spoke things. Don't forget, these folks were speaking with tongues for the first time. Though I can say this without doubt. Let me say this. In proper hermeneutics, Acts 19:6 cannot be said to have happened like that. It's a continuum. That is, you know, they seem to speak better. It could take a while. Acts 2 was instantaneous, same day. Acts 8, no much information. Acts 10 was the same. But Acts 19 seemed to be a function of Paul staying with them. So, it appeared like there was much more they did in Acts 19:6. I'll delve on that next week. But they did more. They prophesied. If you notice, okay, let me leave that. They prophesied. There was much more content in their interpretation. There was much more content. It's not much more content in the tongues, but much more content where? In interpretation. So there was much more to receive from them. Much more content in the interpretation. Now go to Acts 21. Why would there be much more content? Paul says, you desire it. If you're a good student of the Bible, lay your hands on them in the Spirit by the Spirit. I explained that when Paul mentions desire, it was referring to the utterance gifts. Always know that. So, they desired it. They wanted it. Now, of course, you know something. You want something when you are told. Look at Acts 21. Verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Don't let that confuse you. How would you talk to someone through the Spirit? Tongues plus interpretation. See where they landed. Don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul said, why are you breaking my heart? I'm going. Why would Paul say I'm going? Because he had said it earlier. Okay, I'm just giving an hint into where we're going. He had said earlier that, he said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what befalls me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions await me. So, that is, those folks, they spoke out by the Spirit that there was problem. But then they now said in their perception that he should not go. So that's where we're going. How? Because how do I, where is the inward witness in the utterance gate? That's where we're going. Well, not this week. Where is the inward witness there? It's the same Spirit. Where is the inward witness? In the utterance gate. Or revelation gate. So they said to him by the Spirit that he should not go. And Paul says, look, you guys, leave this matter.
you know, he said he has to go. So they prayed. Now, in verse 8, he now went to the house of Philip the evangelist and the seven daughters. Okay? He says that they did prophesy. Again, they spoke by the Spirit to him. Then the last person was Agabus, a prophet, who says, thus saith the Holy Ghost. Agabus was the most, almost the most definite as what was said. So there are depths to walking in this, in the things of the Spirit, in this context. There are depths to it. Just like the first folks. They will have misled Paul by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, basically, you see that there is more in speaking. You know, more in speaking. What the apostle should do, say, when we speak with tongues, we should desire that we should interpret. That if we should desire to know the context. 14:1 and 14:12 and 13 and 14:39. Desire to know the context. To know the content. What is the content? So, where do we receive interpretation and perception in our minds? Our minds, our understanding, which is where we have our perception. Hallelujah. Watch something. Let's see something. So you get what I just said now. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:2. Put your hands up. I want us to read things. 1 Corinthians 14:2. When I speak with tongues, I speak unto God, no man understands. When I prophesy, I speak to men. When I speak with tongues, for I'm edified. When I prophesy, I edify the church. When I interpret tongues, I edify the church. Are you following? Look at the sequence. Verse 14. If I pray in the Spirit, my Spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. How is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding. Else, if I bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies no one say amen and my giving of thanks, seeing that he does not understand what I said? He says, you barely give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, follow the sequence. So, in verse 24 and 25, let's see 24 and 25. If all what? Now what is all prophesy? What happens? What happens? Is what? Who is the person convincing him? Who determines it? God or you? Go on. What happens? The secret? What is that? That's the revelation gifts. From tongues. Okay? From tongues. So, it now says, how is it then? But then, when you come together, what happens? As what? What else? What's the first thing we'll do in 26, 27? If any? So, how does 26 happen? By What is the primary way we start? Okay? So it leads us into what? How would it lead us into Psalms, Revelation, and Doctrine? Interpretation. So if we're going to arrange it, we speak with tongues, because that's exactly what it says in 27:28. Tongues, then interpretation. So that means interpretation of tongues. Tongues on their own will edify me, speak unto God, but when they are interpreted, they have what? The revelation gifts. The same spirit. So, we have revelation, instruction, and a psalm from tongues. That means if I leave it alone, I may not know the enormity in tongues. But if I don't leave it alone, I have much more to benefit from it. Am I right? So look at this. Now, those that will be edified, does it include you? So can I practice 1 Corinthians 26 in my house? Why would I? So that I will be what? My understanding will be edified. Are you following? Look at 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. 1 Timothy 4:18. 1 Timothy 4:15. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with laying on hands of the presbytery. So giving thee, so we can see that there's intimation in the prophecies. There's knowledge. Something comes out of that. Something to know. Something to walk with. Something to walk in. Information, thoughts, God's purpose and plans. Now, how did this happen? You know, it's not difficult to know, because Paul said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So if Paul is talking about prophesying, you know he's talking about tongue interpretation. You get it? So, definitely, there was tongues interpretation, and this is what he did. Look at the book of Acts. And let's see the import of this. In Acts 11 and 28-29, Agabus, signified by the Spirit, utterance gifts, that there should be great death through all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So, in his speaking, there was revelation. Let me say this. The highest revelation is not a vision, it's utterance. It comes by speaking. If you can just pay attention to what you say by the Spirit. Because many of us, I for example, I know, I grew up not as a Christian in a white garment church. So I'm used to people closing their eyes and twirling around like go-go shake. I know that, and you know, so there's a way in your mind you think that's how to contact information in the supernatural. You may not agree, but when you get to think about it, you think about, if you're really deep, it's still that thing that is affecting you. They are really deep. They are very, very deep. Very deep. Extremely deep. Do you understand? Do you know that John the Baptist,
You know, I was saying this about, you know, all these prophets that are wasting their time. The prophet is just like on a football. So we'll talk about some funny things. And you see the thing is that when they announce those things in the paper, they put everybody together. You know? You know, and James announced that this person win election. Gifts of his spirit. That person will lose. And all that. You know, I remember somebody was telling me that his pastor told him who was going to win the election. I said, write it down. I said, I'm not speaking by the spirit. I'm talking from experience. This is what's going to happen. Ah, this man, what he says come to pass. I said, this one will not come to pass. Because I know. Not in the spirit. You know, it was so funny. I mean, last year's election, people are saying, people actually called me. You see how people are. Because they say, it shows that you're a true prophet of God. I laugh. It's so funny. I wish I can use it for us now. It's getting, it's very, very hazy days. You know, when you see a prophet, and you look at the epistles and you see, who is the prophet that Jesus said, this is the greatest? What did he say? You know, Jesus quoted John just once. And he said, John said, not many days you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not much. And he quoted him. And look at the things he said. You notice that John's greatest revelation was what he said. So don't always think that revelation has to be, you have to close your eyes, see somebody, see, and oh, you are grown up to always see. You see, I saw a lion running to this side. And I saw, you know, that's why if you have a, somebody was telling me, they had a bad dream, that the wife also had a bad dream. I said, what if you get up, speak in tongues and interpret it? He said, that all, sir. I said, you know what? You want me to punish you? I want to punish you, I'll just say, go on 16 days dry fast. You will see all sorts of things. You will see your grandmother. Hallelujah. We can speak by revelation. How would the secret of the man's heart be made manifest? By what we see. We know the depth of someone's thoughts by speaking. Hallelujah. So, in Paul's classification of gifts of the Spirit, he puts utterance gifts first. In our carnal mind, they don't really matter. Someone is speaking in tongues, just say, oh, you know, and all that. Amen. Okay, so look at this. So in our speaking, we have revelation. Just like when Paul spoke to Timothy, he was talking about what was said. What was said was what he told him to walk with. What was said, what was spoken. In Acts 13:2, do you know that how Paul was led into ministry was also what was said? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. In Acts 16:6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then the Holy Ghost did not allow them. You know, it's not like as they were going, the Holy Ghost held them. Stop there. If you move. It was via utterances. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, if we put together utterances we have, we can have a whole lot of direction. When you put them together, it will make a lot of sense. How many are trying to do this? You just put together utterances and then you see that there's a pattern. Have you seen that? Imagine if you were more intelligent about it. Hallelujah. There are some words when they rejoice. Learn the heart of rejoicing. When you are rejoicing, when Jesus was rejoicing, he didn't fall down, then he just said, oh guys, carry me home, you know. The Bible says that he's rejoiced, he said. You know, today, till today, what he said is still a teaching material. He said. Learn to speak. Hallelujah. Because that's where the guidance is, that's where the information that is necessary is. Praise God. Are we together? Acts 20:22. Behold, I go bound in the spirit of Joseph, not knowing things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Read the other ones.
So there's not about being given to the utterance gifts. Much more.
I'll close.
Be given to the utterance gifts. That's why it says desire. That word desire is the word zelos. Be passionate about it. Be passionate about it. You know, I showed you a pattern, if you noticed, in the book of Acts, it seems as though that ministry was done by direction and utterance. Did you notice it? Did you notice it? So as a minister of the gospel, give yourself to utterance gifts. In the utterance gift will be revelation. Never let the power gifts. The power gifts are never meant to give direction. The power gifts are to call attention. The utterance gifts and revelation gifts are to give direction. So, as a minister, you give yourself over to the utterance gifts. So that's why, when we come together, no, it doesn't mention power gifts at all. It doesn't. Because the utterance gifts, with the revelation gifts in them, are post-resurrection realities. Amen. Look at Acts 16, then we close here quickly. Have you learned something? Have you learned something? So if I want to be clear about something that is in my spirit, how do I bring it out? Huh? You know, there's sometimes that you just have something, you're not clear what it is. What should I do? Don't stop there. And then what? That's what I do. Amen. No, there are sometimes I don't need to. I will know. But when I don't, that means my understanding is what? So how do I help my understanding? I will speak with tongues, then I will interpret. Look at this. Acts 16. This was Paul and Silas, they prayed. The funny part is this. Some folks will say, well, they prayed, the Holy Ghost came down. Imagine teaching children such nonsense from children's church. Amen. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Let me ask you. What was perceived that they sang praises to God? That means they didn't know the content of their prayer. How would they have prayed? I'm asking now. Huh? Can you discern praying in the spirit and understanding there? Can you? Because the word sang praises to sing psalms. Psalms. Not the psalm of David. Psalms. Salo. That means, just like 1 Corinthians 14:26, they spoke with tongues, and in the interpretation we now have what? A psalm. Amen. Hallelujah. They didn't pray, let everybody here die. Hallelujah. And you know that they were rescued without anybody losing their life. Did you notice that every time people were rescued in the book of Acts, nobody lost their life? I've explained that to you before. I think I was which teacher was that? Ministry of Angels, no? Right? Nobody lost their life. Nobody. In every rescue attempt, there was no casualty. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's direction in tongues, praise God. If you see tongues as a language that is communicating information, you will know how to receive direction from it. Are you blessed? Let's give God praise. Thank you. So the station is the spirit, the receiver is my mind. Hallelujah. So we'll be dealing with that for next week. Let's give God praise. Thank you.